Romans 8:1. Okay, all together. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Get that in your hearts. I mean, I tell you what, this week, just this week, I had to remind myself of that. I really did. It was a struggle in my own head and things, and just feeling down and discouraged. Because sometimes it just happens. You get frustrated with stuff, you know, work. And sometimes I don't do the things I know I should do. I don't say the things I know I should say. But that's not where we live. We live in no condemnation. That is where we want to be. And as we've gone through Romans 8, we spoke of that great anchor that no condemnation is. And then as we move forward, the unbreakable links that Paul's going to give us to hang on to that great truth of no condemnation. Last week, in verses 3 and 4, we saw again that it was God who did it. The God who did the work, who moved in our hearts, sent His Son. And at the end of verse 4, we see that the result of Jesus' sacrifice was the righteous requirement of the law will be filled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That word walk, often maybe in your Bibles may say live, may say something like, you know, act. You know, it's that idea of how we live our lives. And now we continue then on verse 5. Verse 5 then, Paul continues. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. So, as we think about this great truth of no condemnation, of God's Spirit enabling us to live and walk in that, as God's Spirit gives us the strength to walk that path of obedience towards holiness in Him, what assurance do we have that it's true? How do you know that it's true for you? How can you tell? Is it because you said some words? Is it because you signed a card? How do we know? Well, I think that what we see today is the first link of assurance that we have in Christ. That this verse today, in verse 5, shows us that. Now, at first glance, when we read those verses, those who set their minds on things of flesh, live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, when you first look at it, you might think it's like a to-do list of sorts, right? If I want to be in the Spirit, I got to make sure I'm thinking about spiritual things. And then if I start thinking about fleshly, worldly things, that means I'm kind of off the path. I need to get myself right. And that's kind of how we're wired sometimes, isn't it? We want to know where we are. We want to have the marks where we can see, okay, I'm in or I'm out. You know, and keep track of the progress. And so we can look at this and think, okay, this is a call to do better. To think better. You ever think about what you think about? Interesting thing that as humans we can think about thinking about what we want to think about. And in here we might think, okay, I want to think better things and I improve my performance. Now, the Apostle Paul, and really in Scripture, but Paul does occasionally talk about that very thing. you know, in an imperative kind of command way. You look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, set your mind. Don't set your mind on things of earth, but set your mind on things of heaven. And or you know, familiar passage in Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever is good and lovely and true and honorable and just, think on these things. And in those cases, he is giving a command. The Greek word structure is imperative. You do this. But not here in Romans. Not here. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of Spirit. Paul's not giving us a to-do. He's not giving us a command here. This is assurance. Paul is not telling us what to do. He's describing us. This verse is a description. He's continuing this contrast that we've been seeing all along of flesh in Christ. When we talked about how we've transferred then, if you're in no condemnation to be in it, you've gone from the kingdom, this law of death, and we've moved to the law of life. We're free from this, and we're over here now. And that is what Paul's doing. He's not commanding us. He's telling us. This is a description of who we are if we are in the Spirit. It's evidence. It's evidence that you have transferred allegiance. All right? So what I want to do today is let's follow Paul's argument. Let's kind of see where Paul goes and how he shows us and gives us this link. This link of assurance that it's true, that this is true, and we can live in it. All right. So in Romans chapter 8, as I already mentioned, he says then in verse 6, 4, okay, and this 4 I believe is a continuation. He's saying, okay, I want to show you why this is true. Why it's true that how you think shows who you are. And in 6 he says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is death. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So there we see the two kingdoms, don't we? If you are set on the flesh, then that's death. And you're set on the Spirit, it's life. It's the two realms. See, sometimes I think what we want to do is here's the line. And here we have Spirit, and here we have death. And as Christians, we want to be over here. And so we walk it, and we're here, and then we, you know, maybe we curve a little bit, and then oh, I'm in the flesh, and, you know, and I gotta get the car back on the rails here. But what Paul's saying here is not this continuum we have to go back and forth on. Either you're in the flesh or you're in the Spirit. It's one or the other. We don't have to go back and forth. And that's the assurance. I tell you what, as a kid, I mentioned this before, I'm sure, but when I heard the gospel and it was stirred my heart to believe, and I you know, prayed the prayer, please, Jesus, come into me, you know, save me. I, in the next couple of years, as I was, you know, 7th, 8th grade, I bet you I prayed that prayer dozens of times. Because I would think, oh no, I'm in the flesh, so I got to redo this. But that's not the assurance Paul wants us for us here. He's just showing us, hey, no. You're here or you're here. In the flesh isn't the struggle that we have, because we do, right? This in the flesh is that orientation away from God. It's death. And that's not who we are. If you're in Christ, you're not there. Because then look what he says in verse 7 as he moves forward. For the mind that is set on the flesh, it's hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. See, that's the description of the old. They're under the law. Remember that those who are in Christ are set free from the law. It's a new way, it's a new kingdom, it's a new place. And so what we're seeing here is not, you know, something we can wander back into. This is describing what you are before Christ. You're hostile to God. You cannot fulfill the law, which we've seen is true. In fact, it's impossible. You cannot. And that's what verse 8 tells us, then, isn't it? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. See, so I hope you're seeing now that it's not a line that we can cross back and forth on. Paul wants us to know deep down in the very heart and bones that we can stand on no condemnation. That is what he's trying to explain to us, not to beat us down because I have a random thought that's not towards him. And this is important. Because it says here, you know, that person in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot do what's right. And now you may ask the question, wait a minute, what about, I mean, I see people who want nothing to do with God and they do good things, don't they? Yes, they can. So, are they pleasing God? No, they're not. The Bible is very clear that I was reading the old in Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah is describing people and he's saying, you know, that even their righteousness, even the right things they're doing are like polluted garments, dirty rags. Why is that? Why is doing a good thing and God looks at it and going, ah, it's filthy? Because it's in the flesh. Because it's oriented not towards him, not towards his glory. That's what the difference is. When you do things, not for yourself or not to be better, but for him, so that he can be honored, that is what it is to be in the spirit and not in the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, do everything, whether you eat, drink, do it all for God's glory. Is that not setting our minds on the things of the Spirit? It's our thinking. It's important, then, to think in the right way. It makes me think, too, this description is the difference is between being dead and alive. Is that not what Ephesians 2:1 says? You were dead in your sins and trespasses. And if you're dead, there's nothing you can do to please God. But when he makes the move and turns that heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and we are become aware of the sinfulness that we have, and we believe by faith that what God did and what Jesus did is for me, we transfer kingdoms, and our thinking is different. Our thinking is different. That is the link. That's the connection then. From the rights requirement of the law being fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the link is not do more, do more, do more. The link is it's done. And you can live in that. You can hang on to that. Because on this side of heaven, it can be frustrating. And we do fail. But that failure does not throw us back into the other kingdom. you understand? No condemnation is no condemnation, period. And you can live in that and know that by how you think that it's true. Okay. So, where does that leave us? It comes back to the question. What are you thinking about? What do you think about? What is it? When you got nothing else going on, which probably doesn't happen too often. I know it doesn't for me. But in those times when just, what comes to your mind first thing? Just naturally. What is your default setting? Is it towards God or towards the world? And again, this can be used as a hammer. Be careful. It's not a hammer. And in fact, we'll see more as we get into Romans 8 in the next few weeks that that evidence of the Spirit in us is the very fact that you even wonder about it, that you're even concerned about such things, is evidence that God is in you. Now, like I said, this is evidence. This is not a command. But as we walk then in the Spirit, we can encourage our minds to go the right way in various ways. I think about things like, I was talking to, I think it was Emma this week, in my work with Town and Country. I drive around and I see some beautiful things. I got to tell you, that's the one thing I really enjoy. Sunrises. I have seen some amazing sunrises these last few weeks. I mean, absolutely stunning. Everything from, you know, heavy fog and like a green, eerie glow coming over the hillsides to just bright orange blading off into dark blue with stars and everything in between. And so many times I go along, I see that and I just go, oh God, nice one. Wow, that is good. Woohoo! You know, and that's the orientation, isn't it? I hope, encourage you, put the glory where the glory is due. You can see those things and just say, thank you, God. This morning I was standing here and just waiting for the elders to pass, and I looked over here and I see this pew here with these five wonderful people in the front. They're very special to me. I go, thank you, God. Thank you. Do you see? We can see God and give Him glory, and that's our thinking. We can get ourselves to think. Brad, you, one thing I really preach about you is often I hear the words, you know, okay, yeah, tomorrow we're going to do this, God willing. If God so chooses. See what I mean? It's just that orientation of thinking. Yes, we acknowledge that it's God. You know, I can make all plans I want to, but it's God who's going to make them come to play. Give the glory where it is due. Have our thinking. Is your thinking towards God's kingdom? Are you concerned about your neighbor? We can, again, orient ourselves towards His kingdom, what's important, which is people and love, and not get caught up in the messiness of hate and discord and strife and things that come up so often in our homes, in our towns, states, countries, world. Love. Is your orientation toward love? Your time speaks volumes on what you're thinking. Where do you want to spend your time? How are you going to spend your time? The things we say, the words that come out of our mouth, and again, you know, for me, it's a funny thing. You know, I'm in a work environment that the speech can be rather coarse, to say the least, right? And it's funny. I mean, you get around that stuff more and more, and thank God I've been able to hold my tongue, but sometimes the words are in my head. I go, oh, yuck! I don't want that. No. No, because one of those slips out, and man, preachers, what? No, yeah. See, but my orientation is, no, I don't want that. That's wrong. Please, Lord, help me. And, of course, I think the very best way that we have to set our minds, to encourage our minds to be in the Spirit is God's Word. It is. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again and again and again. Read this. Read it over and over, more and more and more. Meditate on it. Study it. Memorize it. There's no better way, because if you want specifically to think about things of Spirit, this is it. God gave it to us. You think, oh, I wonder what I should think about. I can think of a lot of things. I can think of a whole bunch of words you can think about that are things of the Spirit. And I know it's hard. I know it is. I'll tell you the truth. I had a tough week this week. I've been trying to memorize James, and I'm in 2, and I didn't want to. Okay, that's the truth. I didn't want to do it. And several days I didn't. I just didn't. I didn't feel like it. So, but I don't want that to be my orientation. I don't want that to be. You know. So then I can think, okay, no. Okay, Lord, help me. And ask God. Again, praying. That's thinking in the Spirit. A person of the flesh, they're not going to pray to God. Why would they? That makes no sense. But for us, as we pray, God will answer those prayers. He wants to hear you. He will ask you. You pray, Lord, help me to read your word. I guarantee you, that is a prayer He wants to hear, and He will answer. Get into it. I was thinking today, and try this today, okay, if you will, all right? Sometime today. Get somewhere where it can be reasonably quiet, maybe. And read 1 John. 1 John, okay? It's 5 chapters, 102 verses. I counted them this morning. All right, 102 verses. So, say you read really slow. You're just really, really slow. Say you give yourself 10 seconds for each verse. All right? 102 verses, about 17 minutes. 17 minutes. So somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes, you can read the entire book of John. Remember I talked about feasting? Let's get the, and I tell you what, you read 1 John, you're going to be encouraged. You'll be assured that what God has done is for you. You will be encouraged on what it is to live a life of the Spirit. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Those are God's words. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if today you are in Christ, if God's Spirit is in you, you are not in that camp anymore. You are not in that realm. That kingdom has nothing to do with you anymore. Now, they may try. That kingdom will try. Say, no. Remember, you were over here once. And you can say, no, absolutely not. That is not me anymore. And when you struggle, if you're having a tough week, a tough day, a tough hour, if that familiar little thing that bugs you and has for years creeps in again, no condemnation. Because your mind is set on a different thing. And has a strong link that you can hang on to with all your strength. And God will give you the power to do it. All right? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you that by your Spirit we are not condemned. And Lord, I pray for each person here today that you would encourage them with the assurance that they are in you because their mind is set on different things now. That they can look at a sunset and not think, oh, pretty. They can think, God, how great you are. That they can be concerned for the neighbor and not think, oh, I'm a good person. But they can think, Lord, you are the Lord of love, and that comes out of me because of you. That we can look at your word and know that these are your words and that your Spirit will use them to turn our hearts more and more towards you. Help us, God. We need you so desperately. As we sang today, come, Holy Spirit. Come. I need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We desperately need you. So please, I pray this week that we would more and more and more recognize and remember whose kingdom we're in, and orient our thoughts and lives in accordance with that, in the truth that is no condemnation. And I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go today in the power of the Spirit.